We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Good morning to all of us. It's such a joy to be here with all of us. This is our third weekend in the UK, this is the last weekend. Tomorrow we fly out. Okay, but we've had some good time here in the UK. The first weekend was in Leeds, the second weekend was in Oxford, and the last weekend is here in Sheffield. Okay. I think God kept the best for the last. Yeah, great. We enjoyed being part of the conference. There was such a joining of our hearts with all of y'all. And also this time, we've been there for more than 2 weeks, so we could meet a lot of people across churches. So it was a good time of bonding, knowing one another, and also learning from one another. Okay, when we had the conference, the pulpit was down. So then, when the pulpit is down, then you feel more connected to all of us. But I guess today there may be live streaming, so the pulpit needs to be up. Okay, so I will work under the submission of the pastor. But always we love to be, with the people and connect with the people and enjoy God's word. I also just felt, thank God for Phil for leading us in worship, and I was also just feeling, being in God's presence. I had this picture of sometimes we can put a glass, and then there is some dirt in the glass, sometimes it's not possible to clean it as it is, and I had this picture. That as if it's kept under a tap, this just glass is just put under a tap, and then as the glass kept on filling and overflowing, in that sense, the dirt was coming out of the glass, and then earlier it seemed like dirty water, muddy water because of the dirt that was there, but then as the glass was kept under the tap, the muddy water was flushed out and there was crystal clear water bubbling forth, And I just felt God saying that we need to be under the flow of the Holy Spirit. Just as we keep ourselves under the flow of the Holy Spirit, He will cleanse us. And many times it's difficult for us to strive and find the cleansing, to be done ourselves. It is not possible. It is impossible. But when we come under the flow of the Holy Spirit, He automatically cleanses us. I was also just thinking that, let us not be under any other fountain. There's no other fountain that can cleanse us. All other fountains can make us more and more dirty and muddy. But the fountain of the Holy Spirit cleanses us. I just felt, for myself, and I believe that's for all of us also. Today we want to look at God's Word, and we want to look at this aspect of the divine gift of love. Okay, the divine gift of love. And we want to look at 1 Corinthians 13. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13, that whole chapter is about love. Yes, the whole chapter is about love, and we want to learn a few aspects from this chapter on this aspect of the divine gift of love. I'll just pray. Father, we want to, Lord, bless you for your presence here in our midst, Lord. Lord, thank you for all these opportunities, Lord, as we just come together. We realize, Lord, this is not just a Sunday service, Lord, but Lord, it's a time to have an encounter with the living God, Lord. Lord, in everything that is being done, Lord, from the fellowship to the worship to the word, Lord, to all the different ministries, Lord, these are opportunities to meet with you. These are opportunities to be, Lord, changed by you, transformed by you. And so we commit ourselves into your hands. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts, Lord. And Lord, so that we would allow your word to change us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, the book of Corinthians, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. Corinth was a very influential place. Okay, it was a mega city. It was a very prosperous place. If you go to the next slide, I put the two main characteristics of this place of Corinth was that it was prosperous and religious. Okay, so it was a very wealthy city. No, it was a mega city. So many people would move from villages and towns to come into this city of Corinth so that they would be able to make it big. No? But not only was it a prosperous place, it was also a religious place. So a religious place, in a sense, they had a worship of all sorts of gods and goddesses. And many of these religious practices led the people of Corinth to be promiscuous, adulterous, in a sense. That was the significance of the place of Corinth. And so because it is prosperous and because it was religious, I've put down four I's that characterize the place of Corinth. One, the people were very independent, independent. People were very indifferent, they didn't care. People were, immoral, and people were idolatrous also. And so that was the significance of this place called Corinth. But Paul was always led by God to go into these big cities and to see the church of the living God being established and the kingdom of God coming in that place. Hallelujah. So though it was difficult, it was a prosperous, influential place, it seemed impossible or difficult to penetrate, but Paul, by the grace of God, would go into these places to see that the kingdom of God is established in those places. And so that's why Paul went over there, established the church of God, and then he was writing these letters to the church at Corinth. Okay. Now, if you look at the book of 1 Corinthians, there are various aspects that are being covered over there. If you go to the next slide, Paul begins by addressing divisions. Okay, that's what we say. Because the people there, some said, we follow Apollos. And some said, we follow Cephas. And then some said, we follow Christ. And so there were a lot of divisions. So it was a powerful city. It was an influential city. And the church was established. But even in the church, there were a lot of problems that were there. A lot of problems. And so he's addressing chapter after chapter after chapter. He's addressing those problems. Divisions. Immorality. What was seen outside was creeping inside. There was incest. Immorality within the church. And that was taken as something that is fine. That was tolerated. And so Paul is addressing that. He is addressing the aspect of marriage, what a godly marriage should look like, And so Paul is addressing these aspects of that your body is sacred, your marriage is sacred, your covenant is sacred. So he addresses all these aspects, in the subsequent chapters. Religious practices, there were a lot of idolatrous religious practices, that were found outside. Then those practices were creeping inside. And so Paul was laying down the standard of God, even as he was addressing what is godly in a church. And then he's addressing aspects of worship, what is true worship, communion, and all those aspects, because there was chaos in their worship. There was no order in their worship, and so he was saying this is dishonoring to God. So what is right worship and how do we find order in worship? And 1 Corinthians 12 is all about spiritual gifts. Okay? It's all about spiritual gifts. Now, after 1 Corinthians 12 is 1 Corinthians 13. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 12 is all about, you know, each person has got its own gifts, their own gifts, like, you know, and how every person is significant and unique, you know, and they all play a role in the body of Christ. All are important in the body of Christ, you know, and we all play our role in the body of Christ. So just turn to your neighbor, just tell your neighbor, you play a role in the body of Christ. Okay. So, you know, it's not that only the worship team is the most important team. Like, you know, it's not that the preacher is the most important person, or the children's ministry team, that's the most important team, or the peer. All of us, we all play our different roles. No one is indispensable. Okay? We all need to work together. That's what 1 Corinthians 12 is about. And we form the body of Christ. Okay? Now, then comes the chapter of love. Okay? So I want to confess that I have preached on 1 Corinthians 13 for many marriages. Okay? Now, all that is true. All that is good. But the context of 1 Corinthians 13 is 1 Corinthians 12 in that sense. And so the context is, yes, you can apply to marriage, but the main context is community. How should God's love be in the community of God? You know, in the body of Christ. That's where we see this aspect of love. And so this love that we have read about so many times, okay, is in the context of community. So just don't tell your neighbor, love in the context of community. Okay. And so we just are trying to just understand this whole chapter that Paul is saying all has to do with our dwelling together, our relationship with one another. And he lays the standard. So I'm sharing about three aspects of this love. The first aspect is the external manifestation. The next slide, if you go. The external manifestation. Okay? So he speaks about the external things. Okay, I'll just read that for us. If you go to the next slide, 1 Corinthians 13 verses 1 to 3. Paul is saying, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So Paul is addressing some external aspects. And what are those external aspects? It's there in your next slide. Paul is addressing three things. He's talking about spirituality, he's speaking about generosity, and he's speaking about tenacity. Okay? Now, what Paul is saying is that, no, you may be speaking in tongues. There may not be anyone who would, you know, speak in tongues better than you, in a sense. You know, you may bring, you know, God's knowledge and God's wisdom, and you may bring prophetic words. You know, you may bring in the presence of God. All that is great. That displays your spirituality. Okay? No. But only the display of your spirituality is not good enough. If there is no love, your spirituality is not good enough. You know? So those are things that we need to kind of like understand. In a sense, we may be great, in a sense, in teaching, in worship, in prayer, you know, or service and all that. All those things, our spirituality being displayed, all that is great. But if love is not there, that's not good enough. Then he's saying generosity. You may give all that you have, you know, for God, to God, and bless people. That means like we may, you know, bless people, we may sponsor some people, okay? We may give our tithes and our offerings, you know, to the church. All that is great. That's a display of your spirituality. But even that, if there is no love, it's not good enough. Tenacity, okay? Tenacity, that means we may be high achievers, you know? We may be successful people. We are go-getters, you know? We get things done. If pastor tells us or one of the leaders, elders tell us something, we get it done. They know, you know, that we are the go-to people, okay? The go-to person, okay? We get it done, okay? We understand. But, you know, if we don't have love, it's not good enough. Now, I want to ask us one thing. These things, all these things, are they good or bad? Good. All these things are good. But I want to say, many times, it's the good things that can take us away from God. It's the good things. Many times, it's our strengths, you know, that can take us away from God. Because our good things, our strengths, always bring us to a place of pride. Can bring us to a place of pride. And can bring us to a place of judgment on others. You know, we can become judgmental on others. So, the bad things, you know, we are careful. You know, sometimes it's the good, subtle things that can lead us to sin and lead us away from God. Okay, so just tell your neighbor, good things can lead us away from God. Just see whether your neighbor agrees to it. Like, no? Sometimes we think it's the bad things. It's not just the bad things. The good things are dangerous, are subtle. It can take us away from God. When I was preparing this, I was thinking like, you know, me and my wife, like, so I'm more of a pastoral person. Okay? I tend to be gracious, loving, caring. That's my nature. My wife is more prophetic, okay? So she's direct. Like, you know, so many times I've seen that when we are meeting a couple or something like that, you know, and they are going through some difficulty, so then I'll be trying to encourage them, you know, say some good words, like, you know, and be compassionate and kind and all that. Like, and then my wife will be quietly listening to all this. And then she will just make one statement. Straight, like it goes like a bullet, like, you know, you know. So not only I feel that they have got hurt, I've also got hurt, like, you know. So and many times, oh, then I'm thinking, oh, my wife, she has so much to learn from me, like, you know, she has to learn to be compassionate. She's my wife. You know, she has to learn to be loving. You know, I think that's precisely the reason why God has put her or put me into her life. It's for her sanctification. Now you see where my deception is leading me. Like, okay, this is what? My strengths leading me to a place of deception. You know? And I realize when the truth comes. Now, how does the truth come? After a couple of weeks, when we are meeting that couple again, you know, many times we meet the couple, and one of them would say, look to my wife and say, what you told us that day really spoke to us. And I'm thinking, I told you 10 things, nothing spoke to you. Nothing spoke to you. She told one thing that was also very powerful, hitting, hard hitting. And they took it. Like, you know, most powerful. And it's true. Like, you know, we are deceived, like, many times. Like, you know, we think we are strong. But our strengths kind of like lead us away. And we need to be careful about these things. So I just want to say that. You know, we may be great in our spirituality and great in our generosity, great in our tenacity, but we need to have that love. Today, Pastor Anderson said that, No, we need to, after the service, we need to meet for fellowship. That's important. That's where our love for one another is put into practice. It's put into practice. So, you know, coming early before service to connect and to pray, and being there after service to connect and to pray, those are important things. Important things. So I want to say, you know, some of us who are in different ministries, you know, we are not performers. Amen. We are not performers. We are servants of God. And we have come to serve, and we have come to connect to people. No? See, and even, I'm just saying, even when a speaker comes, like, no, the speaker doesn't just come during the, just before the message. No? You know, somebody escorts him before the message, just before the message. And after, as soon as the message gets over, somebody escorts him back, like, out. So it's not that, like, you know, they appear and disappear, like, you know, finish. They have no connection. No, we've lost it then. Is that making sense? In a sense, like, you know, so even, I'm just saying, worship team also, you know, they worship and they remain and they receive and they connect. No, that gives credibility, you know, to our ministry, not the skill. The skill just does not give credibility, authenticity to our relationship with God. You know, our love for one another, it should be demonstrated in our love for one another. So we are not performers, you know. We don't just perform and then we leave. No, you know, we show what God is doing in our lives by connecting to one another. We are normal people. We are serving people. You know, we may be speaking whatever, we may be speaking, we may be leading worship, we may be in some ministry, we may be an elder or whatever. But we grow in the community of God that God has put us. Hallelujah. You know, it's important. Like, you know, what Paul says is, all these things are great, but if you do not have love, he says, you are nothing. You are nothing. That's what, like, he says. He says, you are nothing and you gain nothing. That's what he says. Like, you know, you gain nothing and you are nothing. And we need to be careful about that. If we just look at that next verse that I've put. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to us, he didn't bring the message of salvation. He lived in flesh and blood and brought the message of salvation to each one of us. Hallelujah. He connected to us. He loved us. And to the extent that he gave his life for us, his salvation came to us through his death and service on the cross. And that's what, like, we need to display. And that's what, like, we need to, you know, show from our own life. So, I'm just saying, Paul is addressing the external aspects, okay? Then, that was the external manifestation. The second aspect is the internal affection. If you go to the next slide, it's internal affection. Internal affection. So, now we're going to the, going a little bit deeper, okay? First the external and then the internal. He's saying, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Hallelujah. I mean, Paul, when he's speaking about God's love, he just raises the bar. He just raises the bar. And he knows if that church has to bring in the kingdom of God, then the standard of God's love needs to be way up there. You know, for those people to be ambassadors in that city. Ambassadors of Christ in that city. And so he raises up the bar. And such characteristics. I remember that when we were in Bible college, like one of the teachers or one of us, the students who's leading worship, you know, every day we would have someone leading worship among the students. And I think that person said, no, let's not, we would have heard that. Let's not use the word love in this passage, but let's put our name. Okay, let's put our name. So, you know, Joe is patient. So, Joe is kind. And many times we found that after the second or third characteristic, you can't go ahead, like, you know. because you know, the word is convicting you. Are you, like, you know, am I like this? Am I like this? Like, you know, it just chokes you. It just cuts your heart. And that's, you know, the standard that Paul is laying over here for his people. Actually, when you look at, if you go to the next slide, he's speaking about 8 things about what this love is. 8 things, you know, patient, kind, okay, rejoices with the truth, protective, trust, hopeful, persevering, never failing. 8 things, okay, it's not just 1 or 2, 8 things of what this love needs to be, what needs to be in us, the internal affection. Now that, what kind of love needs to be there in us, okay? And if you go to the next slide, he speaks about what this love is not. You know, 8 things of what this love is not also. I mean, he just lays it down very clearly. Envious, boastful, proud, not dishonoring of others, not self-seeking, not easily angered, does not keep record of wrongs, and does not delight in evil. Okay? So Paul just raises the standard of God's love that needs to be in us, the internal affection, you know, the real love that needs to be in us. And we need to ask ourselves, you know, expose ourselves, surrender ourselves to this kind of love, you know, which was shown to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and allow the Holy Spirit to change us and work in us, so that we are progressing towards this kind of love. You know, when I was thinking about this, like, we have a brother in church, and, you know, after the service, he's been there for many years. He's been there before me also, like, a good brother. And the only thing was that, like, I would find it a little bit difficult relating, like, you know. So after the service gets over, most of the time, if I connect to him, he would say, Joe, why this is not happening? Like, you know, Joe, why that is not happening? Like, you know, we need to do this, we need to do that. And then, so he would have all kinds of suggestions, okay? And then, so many times when I finish the service and I see him somewhere, I run to the other side, like, you know, so I don't want to, like, you know. And even if, like, I connect to him, then, you know, I tend to be, you know, I was kind of like rude with him, you know, not really trying to understand him and all that. Like, so it is tough, you know. It is really tough for me, in a sense, like relating to this person, like, who's been there with us for a long time. And I remember that some years back, I was speaking on forgiveness. So I finished speaking on forgiveness, and the first person that got convicted me was myself, like, you know. So I got convicted about my own message. I stepped down, and I started looking for this brother. Where is he? I found him behind the church, you know. And I went to him and I said, I'm so sorry. You know, I have not related to you well. Like, you know, it's true that, you know, you would say various things, but I have not responded in godly love. You know, I have not responded, you know, in godly kindness to you. Will you please forgive me? And will you please pray for me? Like, you know? So he just prayed for me. We prayed together, you know. And from that time, there was a breakthrough in our relationship with one another. Okay. Now, that does not mean he has stopped suggesting things to me. I have to still learn and grow in this. How do I respond in a godly way? How do I receive feedback? You know, because I can't, you know, I can't just have, you know, just people saying yes, 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 and agreeing to everything. No, no, that's community. That's where the love of God, you know, needs to be demonstrated, you know, needs to be seen in the community with different kinds of people. You know, just before we took the flight to come here, I was there the previous Sunday in my church. And I sat down together with him, had a chat with him. Then I get a call on Monday from him. And he said, Joe, we chatted together on Sunday, but I forgot to pray for your UK trip. I was so touched. And he prayed for me. And he said, may your trip be good. May your health be good. And all that you do, may it go well. And I just thank God. In a sense, many times, I've met people who say, I'm a Christian, but I don't want to be part of any church. Because in the church, I have to relate to people, and it's very difficult. How can we say that I have experienced the love of Christ in my heart if we have not learned to demonstrate that and to practice it in the body of Christ? Okay. So that's so crucial. That love needs to be seen in this community. Lastly, the last aspect. So now the first aspect was, what is the first aspect? External manifestation. So he's saying that all those things are great, but if you don't have love, you're not good enough. Okay? Internal affection. That means this love, he raises the bar. And the third aspect that he's speaking about is eternal perfection. Eternal perfection. Verses 8 to 13, the last part of chapter 13. It says, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child and I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see him face to face. Hallelujah. Huh? Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. What an amazing thing. So Paul just sharing, pouring out his heart and saying that your external manifestation is not good enough. Inside of us, there needs to be godly love. Okay? But we would know, church, that even this godly love, even when it is demonstrated in this community and in the world, it's not perfect. Do we agree? It's not perfect. It's broken, in a sense, because we are sinful people. Okay, we are still living in our sinful natures. The perfection has not yet come. It's broken. But there is hope for us that one day, it will become perfect. Hallelujah. One day it shall become perfect. That gives us hope. That gives us hope. And that's what Paul is saying, that we prophesy in part and we know in part. But we shall know fully. We shall see him fully. Perfection will come. So we keep on practicing. We don't say, he says leave the ways of childhood. That doesn't mean childhood was bad. Childhood was a preparation to adulthood. Hallelujah. Our life on earth is a preparation for eternity. Hallelujah. We would have heard about this statement that we will never carry anything to eternity. That's not fully true. We carry relationships to eternity. Okay? So, if we can't adjust over here with people, in the community, we are going to meet them there. We'll find it even more difficult. This is a preparation for eternity. You know, though it's part, it's not complete, it's not perfect, but it will reach perfection in eternity. Hallelujah. So if you just go to the next slide, you need to understand that earthly things will cease. Earthly things are a preparation for eternity. When we see Him face to face, if you go to the next slide, our spirituality will come to a place of perfection. Our affections will come to a place of perfection. No? Our affections. So I know that, you know, even as we live in this community, it's not that like, you know, it's perfect. Our relationship with one another is perfect. No, it can never be perfect. But God is working in us and moving us to perfection. We need to work this out. But one day, we relate now with that hope that one day it will reach perfection. Okay? That hope we have. That eternal hope we have. No one can take that hope away from us. You know, what I would feel is that, like, you know, in the world, people would move from the external because they focus on the external. What is external is very important. External. And they would say, okay, from the external, work on the internal. Okay? That means, like, it needs to go deep down so that it's coming from within. And then, finally, you can think about the eternal. Okay? But when we know the Lord Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection on the cross, and when we know that He brings eternity into our hearts by our belief in Him, our Lord and Savior, He has conquered eternity for us. So we as believers, the Church of the Living God, we move the other way. We move from eternity, that eternal hope we have, that sense of eternity, you know, that confidence we have, from that eternal hope, we move and we internalize that. Like, you know, we see the, you know, so we work on it, knowing that one day there is hope and perfection. And then so we move from eternal to the internal to the external. Okay. We don't go the other way around, but we allow eternity to affect our external, you know, manifestation, our internal affection. That's what, like, God has done for us. No, there is hope. The perfection will come when we reach the other side of eternity. And so the last one, Paul says, if you go to the next slide, no, Paul says the greatest of this, there's faith, if you look at the greatest of these is love. No, faith is in God, hope is in God, but God is love. Hallelujah. God is love. And so our prayer this morning needs to be, Lord, help us to demonstrate this love. Though it may seem imperfect, though it may seem broken, you know, and we are in this broken community. It's not a perfect community. God is still working. Okay. But we will find grace to demonstrate this great love in our hearts and through our hearts, you know, into the lives of people within this community, you know, and in the world that God has placed us. Hallelujah. Love is the greatest. Let us allow eternity which Jesus has conquered for us. Let us allow that eternity, you know, to impact our lives so that we are able to demonstrate that godly love in this community and in the world outside. God bless you.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.